This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time for a Chili's Green and Gold update on the Bill Michaels Show. Brought to you by Chili's. Stop by Chili's today for the 3 for $10 deal. A starter, entree, and drink for just 10 bucks. Training camp accommodations provided by the Radisson Hotel and Conference Center, Green Bay. Featuring newly renovated guest rooms. Now, here's Green Bay insider Mike Clemens.
Second and third team offense in there for the Pack. Uh-oh, he fumbled. The rookie fumbled. Williams fumbled, and it's picked up by Ricard. So Williams tonight has dropped a pass. He has fumbled deep in his own zone. And that will not endear him to his coach. And it's a turnover, and Baltimore will get it first and goal.
The signal of a ship that was going down. Packers last night, they take it on the chin, get knocked off by the Baltimore Ravens in Baltimore. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends over there at Give Kids the World and Perkins Restaurant and Bakery is encouraging you. Don't forget, go to 105.7 FM, The Fan. Get yourself signed up for the charity golf outing, and please help us help the kids. Mike Clemens joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. And, Mike, not a solid performance last night, to say the very least.
Hot and humid night in Baltimore. 81 degrees, a dew point of 70. It was kind of a sauna.
Uh-huh. Sticky.
69,000 paid attendance, only 9,000, I think, showed. I mean, well, you know, don't talk about going into a hostile environment, because there was nobody there, man. It was a TV studio last night.
Yeah. So, well, wait till you see what Winnipeg has to offer. They'll say 9,000 paid and 2,000 show up.
Yeah, oh, by the way, and that's field turf there. Now, do you really want Aaron Rodgers playing on field turf, a soccer field? Next week against the Raiders. Raiders won last night, by the way.
They looked good last night against the Cardinals.
Beat the Cardinals, yeah. They put up like 30-some points, 30 to 23 or something like that. So the Raiders have won their first two preseason games. That one on the road last night in Arizona. Of course, the big question, their story before the game is about 45 minutes before the kick, the team announces Aaron Rodgers is not going to play. Just about everybody else played. Aaron Jones, the running back, did not play, as we sort of predicted or sort of heard from around the coaches, even though he's, you know, close to being ready with his hamstring. Jamal Williams seems to be a little bit behind that. But the Aaron Rodgers thing, that it was apparently something that popped up like maybe Wednesday morning. This was not something like it started to tighten up during pregame. This is something they knew about before they even got on the plane. And here's what LaFleur was asked about last night about why he sat Aaron Rodgers.
It's all precautionary. We never want to put him at risk, put him out there if he's not 100%.
When did you make the decision to go ahead and sideline him tonight?
It was a game day decision.
Do you need to see Aaron in the preseason to see what this offense looks like with him?
I think we'd like to see him, but you're talking about a veteran quarterback that's played a lot of football. I don't think it's a necessity, but it's certainly something that we'd like to see.
Is there any concern that this thing could linger into next week and maybe miss some practice?
No, I think he felt a lot better this evening.
So they knew about this prior to him getting scratched late yesterday afternoon, then, Mike?
It started up Wednesday morning, day before the game.
Do you make anything of it? I mean, is this something that you feel, because has he talked about this at all?
No, but I can tell you, even young players like Alan Lazard, the 6'5" receiver that flashed last night, you see these guys in the locker room, and they're sore, they're tired. Everyone's walking a little weird after one preseason game and 3 weeks of camp. This is the thing about it, Bill. We've only got like two practices left this week, and they're open to the public. 20 practices in this training camp. 16 are open to the public, and the media gets to go to a couple of more. And then it's game week for the Bears. And I was talking to Rob Reichel about this. He looked up in 2005. Do you know how many before the CBA and all that. You know how many practices we covered that summer for training camp?
I'm going to say 35.
50.
Oh, my 50. Goodness.
I mean, you know, it was two-a-days. And sometimes we'd have those morning practices 2 weeks in that were in shells, but they were out in the field for 4 hours. You know, the difference now is they don't stand around and learn on the field. They spend so much more time with audio-visual tools and talk about it in the locker room, or rather in their meeting rooms, and then they do these walkthroughs. Whatever the case, though, players are still, you know, they get muscle cramps, they get a little cramped up. So that means DeShone Kizer, and I like his theory. I don't think it's actually true. They've got too many. This is a new young coaching staff that's just trying to figure their way. They did not say, hey, you know what, let's be safe and bench Aaron and throw Kizer into this like it was a game situation. I don't know if they're just trying to move the football right now. And I think they could have used Aaron Rodgers last night to show the rest of the team, to make the team feel good about running the offense. But, you know, Kizer, you see the tools, you see the strength, the footwork, you know, improve. But then he gets on to third down, he throws the ball to the right, it gets deflected, and then they go for it on fourth and four, and he throws this rocket to Devontae, high and hard, and they have to come off the field. At least DeShone Kizer doesn't have any picks yet, but you know, we asked LaFleur after the game, overall, what do you think of that first-team offense?
Yeah, there was some good. You know, I thought the first drive started out good. We were aggressive on, on that fourth down. I thought we had an opportunity both on third and fourth down to move the chains, and we didn't do it. And the second drive ended in a field goal. So there was some good. I thought, if you want to score points in this game, it's about getting explosive plays, and that's where we're struggling as an offense. I thought there's just way too many missed ops out there.
What constitutes success for DeShone or Manny or Tim in games like this?
You know, I really think just getting the offense in a rhythm. There was some good, and again, there's a lot of stuff that we can learn from, and not all of it was, if we didn't score, was their fault. You know, I thought there was opportunities where we missed a couple throws down the field, where we had the look that we wanted, where we had a couple overthrows. There was a drop that we had across the middle, and then we had a couple busts on third down. And you know, I think we were 3 of 12 or something like that on third down. That's not good enough.
Couldn't get the running game going, though. I mean, that's the biggest
yeah.
thing. And with the first team, Brian Bulaga, he hits that linebacker number 44 to the outside, and Trey Carson's got nowhere to go, and this is outside zone, man. You're supposed to be able to take these guys inside and let these guys run to the outside, to the sideline, where they, you know, presumably have take less hits than taking the ball at the middle, cutting up inside. And so without the two top tailbacks, they got zero traction last night. You had Trey Carson, who ran it six times for only 9 yards. Darren Hall had the one that he popped. He had 31 yards on 7 carries that averaged a little over 4 yards a carry. And then Dexter Williams, you know, the rookie, that the one pick he used at running back on a team where you want to run the ball more and you only picked one running back this year, he had 5 yards on 3 carries, a fumble, and a drop pass. Keith Ford had the one carry for 10 yards up the middle toward the end there. But the other thing, too, is then you've got penalties. You got all these holding penalties. It's league-wide. All these games are horrible. I just watched the Jets and the Falcons last night, the tape of that game, and you know, it's just plagued by this stupid emphasis on holding penalties. And LaFleur was blowing his top. He talked about that after the game.
I'll have to go back and look at it, but I thought the two runs that we popped, I thought, you know, again, I'll have to go back and look at it and see if it was worth turning in.
So, you know, he's talking about
it has slowed the game down.
Turning in plays to the league.
Yeah, it has slowed the game down, no doubt about it. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. We'll come back. Mike Clemens joining us from NFL Sirius Radio, talking about last night's game and performance. Stay tuned. A lot more of the Bill Michaels Show right after this.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
The kitchen, and they got him. And Gilbert has his second sack in as many weeks. Reggie Gilbert brings him down.
I thought we did a nice job in the red zone. They moved the ball well those first two drives, but we stiffened up in the red zone, and it makes a huge difference when you're holding teams. Instead of giving up 14 points, it's a six-point game.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show continues on. I'm Bill Michaels. We are glad you are here. Mike Clements from NFL Sirius Radio joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. And Matt LaFleur pleased with the defense in the red zone against the Ravens. It wasn't a great night defensively speaking overall, but Mike, we saw some of the starters last night. It just doesn't seem like it's flowing real smooth right now.
No, and you know, you're looking for aggressiveness on this defense too, a little bit of spirit. It's preseason, you know. And I'll tell you, in watching these preseason games right now, one team that's really jumping off the page as an aggressive defense is the San Francisco 49ers and their defensive backs in particular. Adrian Colbert, he got ejected for the game for a hit he put on a dude. But they are jacking dudes over the middle. When their teammate got ejected, they even got even more physical. They ended up racking up 18 penalties for 216 yards in penalties in a game where they beat the Cowboys 17-9 at home in Santa Clara. But, you know, watch those guys. You watch a little preseason this weekend. You don't see that kind of aggressiveness. You see these guys trying to play fundamentally last night. So, you know, you and Gary called it, though, right after the game with the post game, like, what's with the bad tackling that's going on? You know, some guys that have scored it from last night saw as many as 20 missed tackles. LaFleur scored the game against the Texans with 24 missed tackles for over 100 yards that they gave up on that. And so LaFleur was asked what was missing from the defensive effort last night.
I thought there was a lot of missed tackles out there. It's not good enough.
How do you remedy that?
Yeah, we got to do a better job in practice, probably up the intensity level a little bit, a little more, really wrap up on thud. So that's how we're going to go about it.
When he says wrap up on thud, thud is the thing that they've had in the league now for years where they say, okay, 75%, okay? If you're a defensive player, you see the ball carrier, you give him a shoulder, you show us that you could have wrapped up on him, but you do not take this guy to the ground. You don't hit him with your helmet. You make contact with him, but that's it. You know, you just shake him a little bit, 75% of a tackle. And I asked LaFleur this a couple of weeks ago because you could see that and in the joint practices, it seemed like they were behind. And how do you go about this? And what happens if you lose two preseason games? Because it takes two or three, even just to get your starters up and running, to feel their pads and to get ready back into football shape. For your running backs to get beat up and get ready so they can play a full four quarters against a defense like the Bears in Chicago in a couple of weeks. And right now the coach is like, look, we are not going to hit each other. If I lost two preseason games, yeah, then I'd have to make that up with live practices where Packers would be tackling Packers in order to get the evaluations, and you would lose with all those snaps in two preseason games. And so this is league-wide. And it's funny because the minute I talked about that, and, you know, we played a quote that I got from Mike Pettine about how tough it is to get defensive players up and running and to tackle, and they say, you know, it's the younger players too. These undrafted guys, they've got a lot of skill, but they're going after players they of a quality and caliber they've never gone before, and they're bouncing off these guys. So they got to find a new level when it comes to that level of tackling. And we talked about that in the press conference, and the very next day they got out the donut pads where they were started to emphasize it.
Right.
Like, you know, we probably need to work on this. But you could see that there was guys flying off of tackles last night. And so you talk to a veteran like Blake Martinez. Here's a guy who does know how to tackle. You know, how can the coaches improve tackling on defense in practice?
It's one of those things you just got to have a kind of a focus on it throughout the practice and get those chances in these games and make sure that you work those things that you worked in practice, making sure you're in the right leverage, right fundamental stance, things like that to get the guy on the ground.
Where do the Ravens get their linebackers? I mean, my God,
right?
they give up Za'Darius Smith. You know, he signs with the Packers. Terrell Suggs is with the Cardinals. C.J. Mosley's no longer there. And it's in the fourth quarter, and they're like on their eighth or ninth linebacker, and these guys are killing the Packers. It's like they got a factory for linebackers in Baltimore somewhere. Those dudes really hit. And Za'Darius Smith, the former Raven, you know, he's now back in his old team, the team that drafted him. He talked to John Harbaugh before the game, he said. And Za'Darius Smith actually spoke to the Packers defensive players in the locker room last night after the loss.
We just got to harp on the little things. I keep saying that and keep saying it. I know I just talked to the defense, and We actually gonna go in after when we get back and go watch the film. So we just gotta keep working, man.
I guess. I mean, you can keep working, but how do you fundamentally teach guys? You got to tackle. I mean, Mike, I've always said that the will to tackle is heart and will. It's not just strictly technique. It's you got to want to do it. You got to want to throw your body in there, your arms in there, your shoulder in there, and bring a guy down.
Yeah, and it takes leadership for that. You've got to have some starters out there. You know, in those first opening series against Lamar Jackson, you saw Jair Alexander. He got his hand on a football, but, you know, he dropped what was going to be an interception. Then, of course, the one Jackson touchdown got called back because of a penalty on them. You know, I guess you can take some solace in the fact that they, you know, kept him out of the end zone most of the night, you know, through all three phases, third and fourth string last night. The Ravens kicked a lot of field goals last night. And then they're trying to solve the problem with Oren Burks out with the torn pectoral muscle. Who are you going to have at inside linebacker? James Crawford didn't play until late in the game. He seems to be falling back, or they're giving snaps to younger guys. Last week it was Ty Summers who got the call when they sat 26 starters. But last night it was Blake Martinez calling the defense, and then he had Curtis Bolton as the number two inside guy. And he had a pretty good game. Actually, he had four. I think he ended up being scored with four tackles in the game last night, five, including one combination. And you know, he also got the pick. So what did he show the coaches last night against the Ravens?
Obviously, the interception was huge. I was real happy about that. But most of the game, I just, at the end of the day, I need to get back in the film room and prove where I need to, get back in my playbook, align better, tackle better, fill gaps better.
So when Martinez left the game, then they gave the radio helmet to Ty Summers, who called the defense again like he did last week. And he actually ended up with the same amount of tackles as Bolton did last night, too. So in the end, it was a pretty good game for Summers. However, I've been watching some of the ground-level film from the Ravens from last night's game, and my gosh, there are guys, there are Packer defenders, including Summers, that are just flying off of these running backs. They're flailing, they're horizontal, and they're not being able to wrap up. These guys are blowing past them, and this is something they're going to have to work on in practice, obviously, this week.
Yeah, it's now granted, some of these guys, I appreciate they're young, they have good closing speed, they can get there, they do have to have that will to do it, and I agree with you, but Mike, doesn't it seem like we're talking about this every year?
Well, it's part of the thing because you don't have full contact in practice, and it starts with that, you know, and that's the whole point of this. So if you want to add one more game to the regular season and take away two of these preseason games, where are you going to get this tackling in? Because teams are not going to want to have guys tackling each other. That starts
right.
All kinds of fights and situations. But you know, they're not going to go back to the days of running the gauntlet, because you get into this player safety stuff. I mean, it's a violent physical sport. And at some point, maybe you need to stop worrying about everybody getting a concussion in every play and just let them play football.
Yeah, I agree with that. The wide receiving core, we saw a couple of guys that have been standing out. We talked about Shepard. Obviously, he's impressed. We talked about some of the other guys, Alan Lazard. Obviously, haven't seen a lot of Davante Adams, but have seen some of Jake Kumerow. Jake Kumerow's been really, really solid. I liked watching him, you know, some of the highlights of him last night. I think there's some weaponry here that Aaron Rodgers is going to have to throw to.
Yeah, Davante Adams, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, then Geronimo Allison, and then you got to say that Kumerow has got to be the next guy up right there in terms of their depth chart. You got Trevor Davis, who's still out after that stinger in the joint practices with the Texans. He got hit by that Lonnie Johnson, a rookie defensive back, the same guy that started the fight out there. You know, he still might be a returner, but he was having a good camp as a backup receiver as well. But Kumerow gets targeted five times. He did have the one drop, but three catches for 52, averaging 17 yards a catch, the longest one for 22 yards. I mean, he just looks so solid looking the football in. And he was asked after the game, you know, is Kumaro, are you aware how much attention you're getting in the media or from the fans?
I just don't hear it, so I don't have to block it out, I guess. I try not to read up on much and try not to hear a lot of the outside noise. I just try to keep my head down and, you know, keep driving the train straight. And I just try to do my job when I'm out there, you know. I try to just be efficient for the QB and not waste any time at the line and get running on my route. And when it comes to the run game, I like to just, you know, try and fit up on the safeties and then get the corners blocked. So I just like to try and do my job and, you know, trust in the coaches and the quarterbacks.
So it was 3 years ago now, or two years ago. You're already talking about you got to replace Jordy Nelson at some point, Randall Cobb. So they drafted three wide receivers, and, you know, the first one was Jamon Moore. Now, you and Gary last night were talking about, where is this guy? And I'll tell you what, he was sent on a lot of deep passes, but Tim Boyle was in a hurry and didn't have time to look downfield. And I think those are some of the things that LaFleur was referring to in the first segment about we missed a lot of opportunities. These backup quarterbacks, they're in over their heads, and they're not looking or thinking. They don't have time to think about taking the long ball shot. And so Jamon Moore, you can see some plays where he's got a step. He's got single coverage. He's on a post. But these guys haven't got time, they feel, to deliver the ball. They're looking for something more underneath, something a little safer to move the chains. And then, you know, one guy who's really starting to show up on milk cartons, like missing in action, is Equanimeous St. Brown. Mm-hmm. Yes, he's had kind of a quiet camp. He doesn't talk much. There's one ball that was targeted to him last night that was a bad throw from Kaiser. But those two guys, you know, might be on the outside looking in, because you got this second week in a row. You got Alan Lazard, undrafted, 6'5", and big. You know, it's like James Lofton said last night, you know, this guy, I thought he was a tight end. We was watching him warm up last night.
Yeah.
He catches for 63 yards, part of that 84-yard touchdown drive. The Darius Shepherd, another guy who's popped in as a wide receiver. And so he was asked, you know, how did it feel to flash for a second preseason week in a row?
Yeah, I feel great, obviously, to move the ball 80-some yards down the field. I still had a few mental errors I need to clean up, and just kind of an everyday mindset. I've always kind of, like, stood by the motto of play the next play. So, you know, whether the last play was good or bad, just always stay positive and put forth your best effort.
So Packers lose 26-13. Did you know the Ravens now have won 15 consecutive preseason games? They haven't lost a preseason game since 2015.
Yeah, how about that? Then again, it also goes to show you that just because you win all your preseason games doesn't necessarily mean you're going to end up in the postseason.
Doesn't mean you're going to the Super Bowl. But I don't know how many other teams have ever done that, but they won another one last night.
Yep, no doubt about it. Mike, good stuff as always, pal.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, buddy. Talk to you soon. There you go. Mike Clements from NFL Sirius Radio joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.